Just like, you know, we know there's a Pintel Yid. A Pintel Yid. And when you say the right thing, that Yiddishkeit comes out. Rabbi Mayevsky, you know, he told me yesterday, are we here, Rabbi Mayevsky? Is he here over here on the screen? He told me that he, it's a really great story. There was a fellow in his shul on Simchas Torah. He said he was about 85, if I'm not mistaken, if he's here, he was about 85 years old. It seems from the way he was describing, he was totally irreligious. I mean, actually totally, but he had very, very little religion in him. But he grew up, pre-war Europe, in a shtetl, and it was Simchas Torah, and Chabad came into the shul, and they started dancing, and then this person, I'm not even sure he was Shomer Shabbos. And he's 85 years old, he lived his whole life with almost nothing. Well, he came to shul, whatever. And Chabad started dancing, and they started joking around with him. They put on his head a hat. They took off their black hat, they gave him the hat. And then they gave him a garter. So Rabbi Mayevsky was watching, and he couldn't believe what he saw. He was standing there, they gave him a garter. He took the garter, he whipped it on him like a pro. Like, can you imagine, a sergeant in the army who takes a weapon and assembles a weapon? They teach you in the army how to assemble a weapon blindfolded. I don't know, maybe the Navy SEALs, they teach that. They can assemble a weapon blindfolded in a matter of seconds. You can take apart the most sophisticated weapon blindfolded, and it can put it back together within seconds. So the same thing, they gave this fellow a gartel. 85 old man, he can barely walk, can barely move. He got up. He took the gartel, he wrapped it around his body and flipped the ends and tightened it with these sophisticated knots as if he's been doing this his whole life. Better than even a Hasidish Rebbe. His mannerisms and how he just took that gartel, wrapped it on, tied it, flipped all those strings there. Yeah, I'm sure you've all seen this. You go into a shtibl, you watch them put on the garter like a weapon. They just wrap it around like this a million times. And he couldn't believe it. It really, he was taken aback at witnessing how he put on the garter. He's 85 years old. When was the last time you touched a garter? When you were in Hungary? Before the war? When you were in, I don't know, where did he come from? As a child? It's in his blood. It's in his blood. Pintali, that's just a funny story, but every person has in their neshama this pintaliyid. So I want to suggest to you, this is a chiddush to say such a thing. Every goy, do you say such a thing? Every goy has in their neshama. Every goy is the tzelem elokim. Esav, when he met Yaakov, he wanted to kill him. That was the goal. The goal was to murder in cold blood Yaakov. And then when Esav met Yaakov, after Yaakov presented a lavish gift, and he sent groups of people, divided his family in Parashas Vayishlach, he just stopped frozen in his tracks, and Vayishakehu, he kissed him. I know Rashi says he first wanted to bite him, and it's, you know, we know in the Chazal, and his teeth fell out, and he was crying over his teeth. Yeah, we all know that. But Pshuta Shel Mikra, he kissed him. He kissed him and he cried. Why? Because deep, deep, deep down in Esav's neshama, who is a child of Yitzchak, he knows that he sold the Bechoira because he's not eligible to, he's not eligible for the Bechoira. And his brother Yaakov is the one that deserves it. And even though they hate us and they murder us and they've committed every possible crime in the world 10 times over, a guy with all the rishis is a microscopic acknowledgement in being that he is the Tzelem Elokim. He was created in the Tzelem Elokim and has an obligation to observe the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And Esav and Yishmael are B'nai Avraham and Yitzchak. They know the real deal when they see it. And Vayishakeh, Rashi says, The halacha biyodeinu. Don't ever forget. Halacha biyodeinu. It is a halacha in our hands. Biyodua. She'esav soine Yaakov. Ela be'oiso sho'o. Nichmiru rachamav. At that moment, for whatever reason, which we don't understand, their mercy, they were overcome with mercy, and he kissed his brother with a degree of sincerity. Halacha biyadua Esav soine Yaakov. It's been 1,951 years. Biyadua, we can say the word biyadua she'esav soine Yaakov a lot better than Rashi could have, than Rashi said it. Because we have 1,951 years now, we have 1,000 years of history that Rashi did not have. Rashi died in the year 1010, in the beginning of the 12th century. We have a lot of history that we know about that Rashi did not see yet. So we know even better than Rashi what it means. Biyodua she'esav soine Yaakov. Rashi says, Ela be'oise shah nichmeru rachamav. In world history, there was probably never a time in world history of Ela be'oise shah as today, 73 years ago, when the world acknowledged, even though I know on paper you'll show me all of these Zionist books and it was all Shalei Lashma, blah, 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 they'll give me a whole Megillah Esther telling me, rejecting everything, but I'm trying to tell you that, yeah, I know everything, I know, I've seen all these books, I've read half these books, but the fact is it happened. The fact is there was a Hakara from the Umos HaOilon that Klal Yisrael, this is their land. This is the Meirasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham, Yitzchak, the Yaakov, starting Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Mimelatecha, Mibes Avicha, El Ha'aretz, Asher Areka. Celebrate today. It's an incredible thing to focus on, to celebrate today the Oysa Shah. That's the focus of today. To celebrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he influenced the Umayyad Sa'olam to give us that Ois HaShah, that moment, that cherished moment where they committed themselves to a Hakara that has blossomed to a degree that they themselves never imagined, never fathomed possible of what Klal Yisrael has been able to achieve with this Hakara, this Matana, this Hakara, in terms of security, and in terms of wealth, and in terms of development, and in the Ruchnis. Who's the biggest sponsor of Yiddishkeit in the world? Of Torah through Judaism? Eretz Yisrael. There's no one that's a bigger sponsor than of Harbotzas Torah, than Medinas Yisrael, the Zionist state of Israel. It's a fact. I mean, you can make up lies, you can rewrite history. There's no one that's the biggest Marbitz Torah. Mipiem onu choyim. It's a day to be makir toiv to the Ribbono shel Olam and to the people. Okay, there's a lot of misunderstandings. There's a lot of everything out there. But gotta be very careful. You have to be very, very careful. The Haredi perspective has an obligation to be very, very careful in studying the history. That's what's so unfortunate, is ignorance. Ignorance is our greatest enemy. And it's a day to be makir toiv to Hashem, and to be makir toiv to the people that made it possible. Be'ois HaShah. It was today, history repeats itself. If today was the day when this happened, today is a moment of Be'ois HaShah, Nichmeru Rachamav. Unishakoi b'chol liboy. He kissed Yaakov Avinu with all of his heart. Despite the fact that he promised, I'm waiting for my father to die and then I'll go murder them, I'll kill him. We know that, unfortunately, we know that better than Rashi knew that. But it's not something you take lightly. Okay, that's Yisoid number one. Yisoid number two, this is an idea, it's probably a controversial idea, but I think it's something, there's something here, this Dvar Megav, there's something over here, Abachol is going to be smiling because we're going to discuss his favorite topic. What's the favorite topic of Abachol on our exam? The exam we give the Kollel? The first Rashi in the Torah, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. The Halakha first Rashi of the Torah. What does Rabbi Yitzchak say? Rashi says, Uma tam posach, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo hoya tzarech lahaschil es ha-toyra, Ela ve'achoydesh hazel lochem, Shi mitzvah rishonesh nitztavu bo Yisrael. Why did the Torah begin with Bereshis boro Elokim? Why didn't the Torah begin with ha-choydesh hazel lochem, Rosh Chodosh bin Parshas Peshach? That's where the Mechilta begins. The Mechilta, the Medrash Halacha begins with HaChodesh Azelochem, if I'm not mistaken. Begins with the beginning of Shemos. So why do we need this whole, it's a halachic work, the Torah. Why does it begin with the whole parasha Chumash Bereishis is telling us the history of the world, the Haftacha that Hashem made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that I will give you Eretz Yisrael. Umatam posach b'Bereishis. So Rashi answers. Rashi, the Medrash, is quoting a Medrash Rabbah. Rabbi Yitzchak is not Rashi's father, Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki, and the Yitzchak here is not Rashi's father. It's a Tana recorded in Bereshis Rabbah. It may be that Rashi Bedavka wanted to quote a Tana in Bereshis Rabbah that happened to have the same name as his father in order to give cover to his father. But he's not quoting his father, yeah?
Russian that are spliced
together. Right, he's putting together two midrashim. Right. But he is taking a the words of a Tana, Rabbi Yitzchak, which lived 1,000 years before Rashi. He's not referring to his father. The Olam says to give cover to his father. The only possible explanation for that can mean is he wanted to give cover for his father by referencing a Tana that had the same name as his father. But don't be
they
foolish.
Did not see
that part of the Medrash.
No, because that's not from Medrash Rabbah, it's from
Tanchuma Yashan, an old obscure Medrash. Okay, it's not Medrash Rabbah, it's a combination. There are two Midrash that are being combined here, but the Rabbi Yitzchak clearly is referring to a Tana who was an author of this section of the Medrash, and he says, Mishum Koyach Masach Higiliyamo, Lo Seis Lohem Nach Laskoyim, Hashem wanted to reveal to the world his koyach of his deeds, to bequeath to his people the inheritance of the nations. And now begins the part of the Rashi I want to focus on. She'im yoimru umo yisoilam. If the nations of the world will say, Li Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael, listim atem. You're a bunch of bandits, armed robbers. Listim is a very nasty word. It's a very powerful word, the word listim. It doesn't just mean ganovim. It's much worse than ganovim. It's like mercenaries. It has a very bad connotation. Today you say there's so many white-collar crime. Okay, that's pretty bad. Then there's, armed robbery. There was an assault, an armed insurrection on the Capitol, even though there was not even one weapon that was confiscated, but it was an armed insurrection, right? There are different terms you can use. The word listim is not a very nice term. It almost has the connotation like you're hired mercenaries, which is a really, really bad expression. Listim atem, shekivashtem artsay shivaskem, you conquered the land of the seven nations, okay, the seven nations of Canaan. So Klal Yisrael will respond, Hein oimim lohem, they will respond, read the Bible. This is why the Torah began with Chumash Bereishis. Is an order that either they're not going to, they don't care what the Bible says. Really, it's for us. Okay, that's a different drush. We have to know. We have to know and know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created the world. Heim oimim lohem, they, the people who are going to be responding, the people who are under attack, will respond. Kol ha'aret shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He, Hu bira'a. V'nasna lasha yasha b'yeinav. B'ritzoyna nasna lachem. V'ritzoyna nidna mehem v'nidna lanu. Period. Okay, that's the basic Rashi. There are only about 1,001 Pirushim as to what this Rashi, the depth of this Rashi. And Michal knows them all. I want to add on another pshat, 1,000 number 2, and focus on another dimension of this Rashi. Something that we never discussed before. And that is one word. There's one word here that bothers me very much. And that's the word she'im. If the Umay Sa'olam will come to Klal Yisrael and say, listen, Matem. Excuse me, where have you been the last 73 years? If. How many times has the word occupation been used in reference to Am Yisrael in the last 73 years? I don't know if even Einstein can count that high. Okay? What do you mean, if? It's not a matter of if. It's when. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that, okay, so the word im has, no, there are four different translations of the word im. Go the key, there are many ways you can creatively translate the word im. All right. But listen, don't confuse me with the facts. The word im means if. What do you mean if? That's the world. They hate us. They tell us this every single moment. Listen, Matem. They said it to us when we conquered Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yahushua, and they said it at the time of Haman, when we conquered Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Bayashani, and they've been saying it to us for the last 1,951 years, and certainly they've been saying it for the last 73 years. It's been put on steroids, that argument. So what do you mean, if? It happened, a ripple effect through history. What is Rashi saying, she'im? Or the Medrash. So let me answer this question by asking another question, a separate question. I mean, not in the question, we'll discuss another time, we'll discuss many times. Famous Vart. Why is it that children are taught, when they begin to learn Talmud, the first thing they're taught is Perek, it's a minigin klal Yisrael, to teach them Perek Elu Mitzias, in Bava Mitzia. Elu mitzia shaloi ve'elu chayiv lahachas. There are other pieces of Gemara that may be a bit simpler and more. There's an unlimited amount of source material available in the Talmud to use as a haschola for fifth graders who begin to study Talmud Bavli. Perek Elu mitzias is not necessarily the best thing to learn. Maybe you'll tell me it is. But it seems that the experts who deal in education, the rumors are there are other chapters in the Talmud Bavli that may be a bit more proper, better segue to introduce young students in fifth grade to the concepts of the Talmud Bavli. But it's a time-honored tradition for generations. I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know how far it goes back. At least in America, for sure. And if doing in America, must be that it was done in Europe. How far it goes back, I don't know. To teach children for the very first time in Perek, Elu Mitzios Levi Elu Chayav Lachas. And there's a very well-known answer from Rabbi Yochanan Kamenetzky, and he's not the only one that says this, and that is the most important thing you have to teach a child is don't steal. Properly, to respect someone else's property. You have to teach a person to understand boundaries. Boundaries. This is private property. You don't trespass. You don't damage someone else's property. If you find something in the street, does it have someone's name on it? Return it. If it doesn't have someone's name on it, you should also return it. Look for simanim. You have to plant this concept into the mind of a child. It is critical. It is fundamental. It is the most, one of the most, this is how Chazal we understand this. It's one of the most fundamental principles of humanity, of being a human being, and certainly being a Jew, to appreciate What's mine is mine, shali shali, v'shalach shalach. Okay, I know Pirkei doesn't end well, but that principle has to be presented to a young child. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we learned Parashas Vayikra. I suggested to you that we know there's a tradition, a time-honored tradition, which almost no one does anymore, and that is that when you teach even younger children Chumash for the first time in first grade, what's the first pasuk you teach a child in first grade? When all the bubbies and zaydis go to the Chumash party, right? When you give everyone has to do, you have to do Chumash duty. Grandpa, grandma duty, bubby and zaydi duty, take off a day of work, and go to Lakewood and sit in the boring ceremony to watch your delicious ainikel dress up in a costume and get his Chumash. And what do they do at this ceremony? Supposedly at this ceremony they teach them which pasuk? Not what they taught you when you were children. When you were children they probably taught you Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShem Es Haaretz. Today they go back and they do what it says in Chazal. You teach them the first pasuk Vayikro El Moshe Vayomer Levani Hashem Adam Ki Yakrev Mikem Karbon LaHashem. You teach them the first pasuk in the first one or two pesukim of Vayikra. So we made a suggestion. Why did we do that? So the Chazal say, Yavoi Tahoirim V'yasoik B'taharos. That's what Chazal say. So we suggested a couple of weeks ago a drush. What's the first Rashi of Adam Ki Yakrev Mikem? First Rashi in Vayikra. Just like Adam Harishon, he owned the whole world. He owned it all. All the Swiss bank accounts. He owned all the cryptocurrency. He owned all Fort Knox. He had it all. He had it all. Okay, the whole Orlando was his. Everything was his. And that's why when he brought a carbon, it was his personal private property. He did not offer a carbon from Gezel. That's a limud, that when a person offers a carbon, the most important thing is the animal that you bring as a sacrifice to Hashem, make sure you didn't steal it. Make sure the money you've used to purchase this animal is good, hard-earned, honest money. You steal money and buy an animal, Hashem doesn't want to look at you, you're wasting your time. Adam, just like Adam Rishon, the entire world was his, and the carbon that he offered was not Gezel, so too, when you bring a carbon to Hashem, the most important thing, it should not be Gezel. So look at that, two examples. When you teach a child the first pasuk in Chumash, you're teaching him be an honest person. Don't be a ganav. When you teach a child Talmud, what do you teach him? Eilu mitziyah shlo ve'eilu chayav lahachas. Now, we come to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the world says to us, you're a bunch of ganavim. Now, I want to say a chiddush. You're not going to like this, but I think I'm telling you because I really believe it's true. It's not, you cannot prove this to these, the reason why you're not going to like this, those people that are more of the brisker approach will tell me, you can't prove it. It's not scientifically, you can't take this in the world. I'm going to tell you now, you can't take me to a laboratory and take data. There's no data, there's no science. There's nothing you can do to prove what I'm saying right or wrong. It's a metaphysical, it's a hashkafa, it's a hergish. It's a hergish. It's not provable scientifically. Rashi quotes the Medrash that says, She'in yoimru umoy sa'olam listim atem. As we asked, what do you mean she'in? She'in. It didn't happen in history a billion times over. She'in, if. The word "im" has a connotation. It doesn't have to happen. This question that the Umay Sa'olam say to Klal Yisrael, you're listening, it doesn't have to happen. World history can pass by where this Rashi will never ever happen. It happened too many times. But it didn't have to. We could have got away with it. Chazal say, Ir Hanidachas, never happened. Ben Soire Umoire, never happened. Just because it says it in the Bible doesn't mean it has to happen. And certainly if it doesn't say it in the Torah, and a Medrash is saying, it doesn't have to happen that the Ummah Yisraelim will put the Jewish people on trial in front of the world and say, listim atem. So why did it happen? What's the trigger? What's the trigger that it happens? You know what the answer is? Again, I told you what I'm saying now is controversial, and I can't prove right or wrong, but I really believe it's true. If a person is impeccably honest, has integrity, if we were people of true integrity, the Ummah Yisra'olam would never ever say to Klal Yisrael, when we conquer Eretz Yisrael, listim atem. You can come to Eretz Yisrael in 1948 and all of the years leading up to that and say, excuse me, this is our land, get out. And if you don't get out, we'll go to war with you. And the Ummah Yisraelim will say, okay, you're right, it's your land. And they'll pick themselves up and get out. And they'll never say to us, your land, what are you talking about? Listen, Atem. If they would perceive us as honest people of impeccable integrity, if we really learned the parash, the pasuk, Adam ki yakriv mikem, just like Adam HaRishon did not bring a carbon from Gezel, so too you don't bring a carbon from Gezel. Just like Eilim Mitzia Sheloi, Ve'il L'chayav L'hachos. You know why they say to us, listim atem? There's something about us that's not right. And I told you, it's a little controversial. I see everyone, not everyone is so happy with this. There's something about us, we do not live up to our own standards. We really know what integrity really is. It's unfortunate that we fool ourselves in thinking, listen, we live in a geisha world, and the only way you can survive in this world is by cutting corners. You want me to be thoroughly honest in my tax return? Are you crazy? A shaita? You crazy? Every single last thing I should be honest and give away another $5,000 when every yukel in the world takes advantages of all of these loopholes and all of these things. Is it honest? And listen, if I can get away with it, then it means it's honest. Am I fully integrity? Listen, well, I mean, you gotta be smart. You know, you gotta survive. Don't commit any outright crimes to go to jail. Chas v'shalom.
Sneaky.
But you know, there are ways to cut corners. How many times have you gone into a store and they say if you pay cash, there's no tax? Okay, I mean. So everyone, don't tell me every one of you is a tzaddik, hasn't done it here and there, okay? And what's your excuse? You have very good excuses. No one's going to blame you, very good excuses. But the bottom line is, we have not lived up to our own standards. We have not. We know what it means to be impeccably honest, to be 100%. And what happens is, when we know there's something missing in our integrity, the goyim notice it also. And the goyim, you know, they have that pintle of goy in them. That spark that knows that we're better than them. They know we're better. They know. They know it good and well that we're better than them, and we have higher standards, and we should reach those standards. I'm just finishing my thought.
Yeah.
And when that happens, when there's a mashu, even a teeny mashu, a failure in achieving our own standards of what integrity really is, the goyim see it. And when they see us then conquer Eretz Yisrael, which, if you're not going to look at it as a religious conquest, as a conquest that has been mandated and given by the Creator. I created this world. I gave it to who I wanted. These people are sinners. They're wicked people. They're corrupt people. I took it away from them and I gave it to who I wanted to. then if you're not going to look at it from a religious point of view, then you list him at 10. You list him. If we are not living up to our own standards, the Goyim, they say, you only right to take Eretz Yisrael from a religious point of view. But you're not religious. Because the first thing that you yourselves teach your children in your religious schools, in your private schools, that we pay for, tax money, is, be honest. Adam ki Yaakov mikem. Elu mitziya shloi ve'elu chayav lahachris. That's your chinuch. And if you're not living up to your standards, then your religious private schools are no different than public schools. And in public schools, we wouldn't get away with taking over someone else's country. Listen, Matem. But it doesn't have to be like this.
Tell me, would Maya Kahana agree with
this? I don't want to get involved. But Rashi is quoting the Medrash. The Medrash, let's review the Yisrael. The Medrash says, She'im. It doesn't have to happen. Why then did it happen? It's because we have failed to live up to our own standards. And unfortunately, the Goyim pick up on that. And they say, you're hypocrites. If you're really religious, then you should lead a different life. So it must be that you're not religious. If you're not religious, then indeed, listen at him. And what's the response? Go back to the big Bereishis. We have to go back to our Torah and learn about the Ribbono Shel Olam. He created the world. There is a creator. We have to start our religion all over again. We have to go back to Cheder and learn about Bereishis, Boro, Elokim. We have to read Bereishis, learn about where we come from, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the others. That's the Musa Haskel. And every time we deal with Eretz Yisrael, today we're celebrating the Kedushas HaOretz. And when we're under attack of Listim Atem, it didn't have to be like that. Their question is not inevitable. There shouldn't be a question. They should also say, that's right. It's yours. It is yours. Hashem gave it to you. She'im. If they're asking the question, there's something wrong. We have to be critical of ourselves, particularly of our integrity. When we deal and celebrate Eretz Yisrael, it's always a Musar Haskel of a Musar Shmuz of living to higher standards of integrity. Okay, that's my idea. Let's go to a different idea. I don't want to dwell on this too much. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Michal, yes?
I mean, it's all nice, most certain, everything.
But?
What? First of all, there are plenty of Goyim who believe in the Bible, and they get
okay, I'm not denying that. That's right.
They do get it.
Okay.
There are more them in this country than there are Jews who believe it.
Okay. I'm not denying that. I'm not that is completely
and you won't
there is no conflict to anything that I said. Zero.
You won't like my response, but my response would have been, look who's talking. You know? Okay. So you know what I know
higher standard. Higher standard.
But that is the response.
That's not a conflict. Anything that I said, I fully agree with, and it's not even in conflict. You don't have to come on to Ayin Pata L'Torah. There's absolutely no conflict to the idea that I'm trying to present.
And it's only when we reclaim what is ours that this question arises. Right?
Okay, let's go to another idea. I want to go to another idea. Another few ideas, how much time we have. The place to focus on Eretz Yisrael, it's very easy, you know, if you want to study all the miles of Eretz Yisrael, you know what you do? You take out a Haggadah. Why a Haggadah? You go to Birchas HaMazon. The real place, you know, the way I told you this last year, how do you celebrate Atzmaut today? How do you celebrate a religious Jew? The Shoah Hashem Hakar Satoiv for having Eretz Yisrael. What do you do today? Israeli people pray? They don't have a parade today. You have to wait until June for the parade.
There is going to be an event pretty soon.
Where?
In Times Square.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine. I guess around noon.
Okay. How does a religious Jew focus on today? It's very simple. Today, everyone, I hope to do this, you should eat bread. You should eat a piece of bread. Why? Not because you want to eat bread. You want to put yourself in a situation where you're now going to make a baracha of Birchas Hamazon. And a Birchas Hamazon, you're going to come to the second bracha. And in the second bracha, you're going to say the Al HaKoil, Hashem Elokeinu, B'Shem U'Malchus. You're going to say Hashem's name. Anachnu Moedim Loch. If you're not going to eat bread today, you're not going to say this. In the Shmoyne Esrei, I'm not aware that you explicitly thank Hashem anywhere for Eretz Yisrael. You talk about Yerushalayim, Et Semach David, and Yerushalayim Ircha Barachan and Toshel. Today is Nayom Yerushalayim. Today is Eretz Yisrael. I'm not aware there's any bracha in the Nusach HaTfilah where you explicitly thank Hashem for the gift of Eretz Yisrael. You say Psukim and Psuki, the Zimra. It's scattered here and there. But to make a bracha B'Shem U'Malchus in such an explicit, direct way, the only place you have this is in Birchas Hamazon. So it's kedai, if you really believe in Eretz Yisrael, it's kedai to wash, eat bread, even if your doctor tells you bread's not good for you, to have a little bread today. You can get away with it a little bit, right? A little kezias of bread. And you say, and you put yourself in a situation to bench. And even though, unfortunately, our benching by many is just lip service, but today, you know, put on the brakes when you get to the second bracha, and you say slowly, Ribbono shel Olam, you know, I benefit. Despite all of the nasty things that go on with the Haredi world and all the fights that go on, despite this, bottom line is, the benefit is enormous, enormous, beyond anyone's wildest imagination. And a person should feel an achrayus to thank Hashem for what He did for us 73 years ago, ba'ois ha'sha'ah, especially all the people who gave up their lives for this, people who lost their lives, people who lost children, grandchildren, spouses. You owe it to them. They gave it up for religious reasons. You owe it to them. Just for them alone. Forget about yourself. And you wash. You put yourself in a situation where you have to bench. Okay, the first bracha you want to run through, gesunte hey. But when you get to the second bracha, V'yala koil Hashem Elokeinu anachnu moedim lach. U'mevorchim oisach. We bless you. Yisporach Shimcha b'fi kol chai tamid li'olom bo'ed. Kakosov v'yochalto v'sovato uveirachta. What do you bless Hashem for? It's amazing. You think for food? Not really. For food also. You bless Hashem al ha'oretz ha'toiva asher nosanoch. Baruch Atah Hashem al ha'oretz v'al ha'mozer. Even the biggest Zionist can't outdo that. Okay? Even the biggest Zionist, unfortunately, but you can't outdo this. This is over the top. What more can you do than say this bracha? Okay, one more. I skip. I only said the second part there. I did an aveira. I should have went the first part of the bracha. Noide luch Hashem Elokeinu. I'm sorry. The terrible thing. I'm sorry. I just ended the bracha. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I don't know what I'm thinking. Noide luch Hashem Elokeinu. Al shen chalta. Lavoseinu eretz chemda. The word chemda, you can't even translate the word. There's no real translation for the word chemda. The word chemda is such a powerful, desirable. There might even better words, but you can't even get them to translate. Eretz Yisrael, what it captures. Toiva or rechava. Okay, but the main part is the beginning of the bracha, and all of this is captured with the Shemu Malchus. Unbelievable. Now, here's the point I want to expand upon this. In this bracha, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the way he set it up, is the way we the result of thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael is through thanking Hashem for food. They're intertwined. They're you can't separate them. Food, when you want to thank Hashem for food, you have to thank Hashem for the land. Excuse me, what does food have to do with Eretz Yisrael? The food that you're eating today grew probably somewhere in out west. I don't know which state it grew in, but it grew somewhere in America. Maybe it came from China. I don't know. Maybe it came from Mexico. Maybe it came from Canada. Who knows where it came from? It's very unlikely that anything that you put in your mouth today came from Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what you're eating, but it's very unlikely that the food you're eating today came. So would I thank Hashem for the food? What does the food have to do with the land? Most food that we eat today does not grow in the land. So there's a Kabbalistic answer, which you can't ignore. You have to have emunah, is that the barakha of the earth in America is only blessed through Eretz Yisrael. When Hashem sends down a blessing to the earth, that the earth should be productive, should be fertile, it should produce, the bracha goes to Eretz Yisrael. And from there, it radiates to the entire world. So when you're eating a tomato that grew in your backyard in Flatbush, that tomato's source of blessing only came from Eretz Yisrael. Now, I know it's a little bit hard to accept in the laws of science, and a scientist who's not religious will tell you, I don't know what you're talking about. But we are ma'minim, b'nei ma'minim, and that's what it means. And every Jew's been saying this for 2,000 years, 3,000 years. When you thank Hashem for food, you're thanking Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, because the shefa, the influence of blessing that comes to this world is channeled through Eretz Yisrael. That's the pshat. That's not even a drush. That's the way it is. But I want to say now a drush. And the drush is, Chazal asks a very basic question. The Malachi Hashores have a complaint against the Ribbono Shel Olam. They come to Hashem, they say, Ribbono Shel Olam, there appears to be some corruption here in heaven. There's some corruption. There's favoritism. It says, Yisro Hashem ponav eilecha v'yosem l'cho shalom. The Kohanim, when they bless the Jewish people, they say, Hashem should favor you. Excuse me? Yibayne shalom. Favoritism. This is a crime. Constitution. This is a violation. How do you show favoritism to one set of human beings at the expense of others? Makoto, what's going on over here? So Hashem's on trial. The Malachi Hashores, they put the Ribbono Shel Olam on trial. They're accusing him of a crime, of corruption, favoritism. This is a big crime. This is not a small matter. And Chazal, they're very tough. They're also putting Hashem on trial. They're cheering on the Malachim. And then comes the great defense. And Hashem says, on the stand, how could I not favor them? This is not favoritism. This is reciprocation. I told them, V'yochalto v'sovoto Uveirachta Hashem Elokecha. I told them, you only have to bless me and thank me if you're satisfied. But if you're not satisfied, you don't have to bless me. They're all on diets. Everyone's on a diet here in Klal Yisrael. Look, I'll show you the statistics. I'll show you how much money is invested in dieting. They're all on diets. No one's satisfied. Everyone's miserable. They eat. They eat pachos mikashir. They eat a beitza. They eat a kezayis. They're satisfied. They're not satisfied. People are sick. And you know what they do? They sit down and they bench me with kavana intensity, even though they're not satisfied. And that's a mashal for everything in life. Klal Yisrael, they serve Hashem. There are a lot of problems in Klal Yisrael. A lot of people have Rachmana Litzlan, a lot of tzaras. No, they go to shul 3 times a day, they give tzedakah. They go on, they daven with kavana. They love me. I told them, V'yachalto v'savoto uveirachta. Doesn't just mean in benching food. Be satisfied. Who today can say about themselves they're satisfied? Who, I heard about Avraham Shur, it was a Kanoi. He said, there's no one here in this room that doesn't have tainus under Ribbono Shel Olam. If he could say that, that's pretty powerful. Okay? There's no one here that doesn't walk around with tainus on Hashem. They're satisfied. No one's satisfied. And yet, people, they love Hashem, they serve Hashem. Uveirachtas Hashem Elokecha. If they go out of their way and they give me infinitely more than I give them, Hashem says, it's not favoritism. They deserve it. It's an entitlement. That's Hashem's defense. Hashem won. Case dismissed. Victory. Now, get a load of this. This whole idea is all wrapped up in the DNA of Eretz Yisrael. You could say this idea in regard to anything. We just start off this word. Eretz Yisrael, for some strange reason, the blessing of Eretz Yisrael is all wrapped up in food. V'yachalta, v'savata, uveirachta, es Hashem elokecha, al ha'oretz, the oretz, ha'toivo, asher nosanoch. They're intertwined. The destiny of food, of this concept, is intertwined with Eretz Yisrael. What's the message? This is the Musa Haskel. More than anything else in this world, is there an obligation to look at the good and don't have a complaint for not being satisfied? Regarding Eretz Yisrael. You know, in life, people have time to have a better job. I was cheated. I know someone always tells me, every time I see him, that he was supposed to get a certain job, and he was promised. It's unbelievable. Like it's going 50 years ago. He's still mourning the fact that he lost out on a certain job. There's certain people, they can't go and get married because they're still dwelling on Shidduchim from 50 years ago. Girls that rejected them, they can't get over it. Okay? Who? I don't know who. There are people that are still... There are a lot of things a person can be miserable about. But Eretz Yisrael, don't you dare. Even though there are enormous challenges, enormous, enormous problems, there's what to be frustrated about. When it comes to food, what did Hashem say? I told them, V'yachalto v'savoto. Be satisfied. They don't want to be satisfied. They don't need to be satisfied. They're willing to bench me even if they're not satisfied. Eretz Yisrael is wrapped up in this principle because the pasuk of V'yachalto v'savoto v'erachto, you should be satisfied with Uveirachta. Klal Yisrael doesn't need to be satisfied. They're willing to thank Hashem even for a little teeny mashu. They're willing to bench Hashem. And that concept is linked 100% more than anything else with Eretz Yisrael. Which means that in Eretz Yisrael, when you have expectations that everything is going to be perfect, everything is going to be glorious, you're going to have the most beautiful apartment, have parnasa, and have everything you want. It is our duty to thank Hashem for a mashuhu, shebe mashuhu, of Eretz Yisrael, and to thank him uveirachta. If when it comes to food, Hashem says, when it comes to food, they don't need to be satisfied. Look what they do for me. The reason why I show them favor, Yisa Hashem ponav elecha, is because they're willing to make a brocha. They're willing to thank me, even though they're not satisfied, just for eating a mashuhu. And that principle is wrapped up in Eretz Yisrael. The Musar Haskel is, you don't complain about Eretz Yisrael. Hashem gave you a gift, even if he gave you a mashuhu shebimashuhu. We thank Hashem for that gift, for the mashuhu of goodness that's in that gift. There are problems, oh boy, are there problems. But you know, the gift, Hashem didn't just give us a mashuhu. Hashem gave us quite a bit. Quite a bit he gave us. And the demand upon us to give shevach v'hoidah to Hashem is enormous. Enormous. That's the Musa, Birchas Hamazon. V'yochalta v'savata, as Hashem v'chir ala oretz ha-toivah asher nos aloch, afilu al kezayis, al kebeitza, yithang HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the same thing for Eretz Yisrael. Look just for the good. Look for the bracha. And boy, is there a lot of bracha. Hashem has given Klal Yisrael these last 73 years bracha beyond your wildest belief, wildest imagination. All right, let me conclude with another short idea. I saw this idea in Rabbi Shur's sefer. He has a beautiful sefer, Rabbi Shur. I was looking through it today. On Birchas Hamazon. It's very deep. Very, very deep, way over my head. Very heavy things. On Birchas Hamazon, one thing I came across which really clicked. He discussed the bracha over here of Eretz Yisrael, and he says, it's not, I don't think it's his var, it's not totally his, but he develops it in a very beautiful way. And it says here, we thank you, Hashem, noyde lecha Hashem lecheinu, al shenchalt lavosenu Eretz, a land, chemda, Toiva Urechava. Most of the commentators understand these three terms to be independent of one another. The land has three milos. Eretz Yisrael is a land of chemda. It's desirous. It's there's a yearning. It's delicious. It's desirous. Number two. It's a land that's toiva, it's good. Number three, it's urechava, it's vast. It's vast, okay? And they will, he even cites one of the commentators that says, chemda refers to Avraham Avinu, toiva refers to Yitzchak, urechava is Yaakov, you can darshan that the whole day. You can darshan what that means the whole day. Hashem promised the land to Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, k'neged Avraham, it's chemda, k'neged Yitzchak, it's toiva, k'neged Yaakov, v'chava. What does that mean? Not for now. Okay. But then he says something that really, really, really blew my mind and appeals to me. And let me elaborate. What I'm saying is not exactly what it says there in the Sefer, but let me elaborate. What is the Gra, the Vilna Goyim? He asks the question, what is the hardest mitzvah in the Torah? I'm not sure what answer he says. Maybe it's not the Vilna Goyim. I think he says it's Simcha. Maybe it's not the Vilna Goyim. But there's someone out there in the world of commentators who says the hardest mitzvah in the Torah is the last of the Aseres HaDibros. Loi Sachmod. Don't covet. With Sachmod, Eish Esreyecha, you lost out on a good shidduch. L'sach my beis reyecha. You wanted to buy this house. the donkey, the shore, someone's car, someone's electric scooter, someone's bicycle. Someone has some nice gadgets on the bicycle. We have these nice little gadgets. They put all these little cute things, right? Loy sachmoit! I can't afford to buy. So you can't afford to buy, no. Lois, don't covet. How could you tell me loy sachmoit? What, you're a psychologist? You have medicine for me to play with my mind? How do you do that? How do you do that? Good kasha. It's a very, I don't think there's an answer. Loy Sachman is a life work. It's a life work to work on your midos. You need to be trained by the biggest and the best, if you could find people to train you how to work on your spirituality to come to Loy Sachman. So, Rabbi Shuris writes, the name of our commentators, that don't read Eretz Chemda Toivu Urchava to mean three different things. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, you already won half the battle. The Kedusha of the land is a makom which naturally puts into your heart a land of chemda toiva. The word sachmoit is related to the word chemda. Okay, it's related to the word sachmoit. Sachmoit is mem dalit. Sach the ches also. Sachmoit, you can't deny it. Three letters, pretty good, right? Three letters. I never thought of that. The word chemda is related to the word sachmoit. Okay, they're related. You go in America, you go to Times Square, you go here, you go there. Oh, you're overtaken. Technology. You go on the internet for too long. You surf the web too long. You're in a lot of trouble. You're in the wrong place. It creates in you desires for things that are not so good. If you live in a holy land, in the proximity of the Beis Hamikdash, of holy people, of holiness, you know what happens? You find yourself yearning, desiring good things. Desiring a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam.
So there is good sachmoit and bad sachmoit.
Exactly. And I want to add to this. One of the complaints people have about Jews or about anyone, ever hear this expression? Kleina hasagas. Kleina hasagas. You live in your little world, right? You live in your little world. Think big. Big. Think big. Like mayor. Mayor is very bold. He has no restrictions. Think big. Groysa hasogis. Okay, groysa hasogis in life. When you live in Golos, if I survive the day, no one beats me up. I'm able to pay the bills. Oh, it's a miracle. It's a kleina hasogis. Think big. Conquer the world. What are you worrying about the whole day? Things that many people worry about the whole day by great people, they don't think about these things. A person who's a multimillionaire is not worried about paying the bills. He's worried about other things. He has other plans on his mind. His mind is not held down by claiming zachin, covet. This guy, so they sit the whole day. They didn't give me bracha chrit by the wedding. So the next week he's already in the mourning. Kleina hasogis. When you live in Eretz Yisrael and you are in the vicinity, you are in the proximity of Kedusha, it's an Eretz, you have to read the words together. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is an Eretz of Chemda Toivo Urechava. The word Toivo Urechava are modifiers of the Chemda. What are you yearning for? For good things. Kilekach Toiv Nosati Lochem. Your mind is wide. Your desires are vast. A grois. The grois of domestic product. The whole told me that line. The gross of domestic product, the GDP. Not the gross, the gross. Okay, that's Ramachol's word. Gross of hasagas. It's a land that brings out in a person a desire. You'll never have an issue with lo sachmoid. Because lo sachmoid is a product of golos. It's a product of kleina hasadis. When you're living in Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha Sa'aretz, it's a land of chemda, toiva, urechava. The toiva urechava is a description of the chemda. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's the bracha HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. You can get on a plane, you have to be vaccinated, you have to have all your documents, you have to have permission. Mark is here today. Mark is probably on his way fighting right now with the authorities to get on the plane. But basically, unbelievable. You get on a plane, you can watch television on the way there. You get on the plane, go to Eretz Yisrael. It's unreal. It's an unreal gift. Safety, security, all the conveniences of life. It's a tremendous bracha. It's a tremendous bracha to be able to be part of a makom that brings out in man a chemda toivu urechava, not to be held back with struggling with lo sachmoid, eshreyacha, beishreyacha, chamoriach, to be freed from the prison of lo sachmoid and to be able to be a participant in a land that brings forth a chemda that's toiva or rechava is a beautiful bracha that we have to cherish and be makir toiv. There are problems, no? You have to, who says you have to be visavata? Afilu ala kezayis ala beitza. Anachnu mevarchim oisach. We should be zoicha that the bracha should only continue and extend, and we should mirtza Hashem all very soon be there, live there, and absorb the bracha, the shef of kedusha that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings to Eretz Yisrael, together with Melech HaMashiach, b'mher v'yameinu, amen. Thank you for coming, enjoy your day.
Have a good day, everyone.
Have a good day.
Now I know why I came today.
How's this going? Fantastic stuff.